34 major league and minor leaguers, affiliated professionals since mid-February who have gone down and need some sort of surgery to repair the ulnar collateral ligament in the throwing elbow. And joining us now on the Home Run In Pizza Hotline, try one on the grill, it's quick and easy, is the man behind the Center for Athletic Medicine in Chicago. He is longtime respected veteran orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Preston Wolin. Hello, doctor.
Dan, how are you? Terry, how are you?
We're outstanding, my friend. Thanks for asking.
Doing well. And I guess the question first on the high-end professional level is why? Why is all of this force in the elbow now resulting in these injuries more than we remember, even in the recent past?
I think the answer has to do with volume, number of maximum effort pitches thrown, and I'll tell you what I mean by that technical term. I think that this is the first generation of major league pitchers who have been the graduates of the, let's put it, the millennial view of baseball, which includes 12-month-a-year playing, travel teams, things like showcases, so that most of these pitchers have been exposed to this for a long period of time. And I know that there's a conception out there that the ligament tears, as a result of one particular episode. Our current thinking, though, now is that probably that ligament is subjective to a lot of stresses over time, and then eventually it goes. And I think that that's probably the reason for the explosion in the injuries and the explosion in the Tommy John surgeries that we're seeing.
You know what's so interesting is you get still some of the old school guys saying, they don't throw enough. They just don't throw enough. I'm not sure what's what, but this year it's so extraordinary. I'll listen to anything, and I'll take exactly what you said there. And digest that, because I don't know where else to go with it, doctor. I mean, it really is. This year, there's never been one like it. And I don't know if we're going to continue to see it every time baseball season rolls around. I sure as hell hope not.
Well, if you look at the last number of years, there may have been a little decrease, I think, in either 11 or 12. But if you chart it over time, it's gradually increasing. Now, Terry, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because the two ideas are not mutually exclusive.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what I mean by that. We think that the damage that's done to the ulnar collateral ligament is a result of throwing at maximum velocity. In other words, throwing as hard as you can, as compared to throwing in a situation like a long toss, throwing in, a situation like playing catch. And during the days that you're not throwing, we're not saying that you have to stop throwing in order to avoid this injury. I think it more has to do with the total amount of stress that's placed at the maximum effort, and I think that that's maybe a little different philosophy than we've had so far.
So if I'm looking at this from it's sort of taking what you said and trying to put this all together, looking at this millennial generation, that many of these pitchers that are under the knife now were already specialized as pitchers by, say, 12, 13, 14, and had begun when they would go to these camps and go to these showcases, they're there as pitchers and already training with pitching coaches. Not all of them, but a significant amount are specializing earlier. Is there any way to study and to control a study to determine when some of the early damage is being done? Is it max effort at 14? Is it max effort at 18? Is there an actual way to measure the forces themselves to determine or even be able to look at the ligament? Can an MRI show, as a guy's beginner right before he's drafted, can you do an MRI and say, yeah, there's been some max effort wear and tear here? Because it's all of it, I'm not sure it matters unless we know when the damage is occurring that creates the likelihood of the failure of the ligament.
Okay. I think these are all, what you've got encapsulated in those questions, I think, is the heart of the matter, Dan. Let me tell you what my experience is and the experience of other people. We used to think that up to a certain age, children didn't have ligament injuries. In other words, they would have an injury to the growth plate, the part of the bone that's growing. And the ligament that attaches to that piece of bone would be okay, and then once the growth plate healed from this injury, there'd be no problem with the ligament. The youngest Tommy John surgery I've ever done was age 14. And that athlete actually had one of those injuries to the bone that healed, and then he had to have surgery for his omoplatal ligament tear. I think it starts very early and progresses over time. If you take a look at MRIs in young pitchers, 17, 18 years old, even the ones who may not have to have Tommy John surgery, a lot of them have already got some changes in that ligament. Mm-hmm. In other words, it doesn't look entirely normal. By the time you get through college and then into the professional ranks, that number goes significantly higher.
I don't know what to do then. I mean, I guess that there's really, at this point, we're all looking at this, right? I mean, people are looking at like you and trying to figure this out exactly what is right, because I know some things have changed for young pitchers, that at certain ages you're not allowed to throw. Like when my kids came up, you could throw all the innings you wanted to in the
right.
All-Star game, whatever they were. Throw as many as you want. Now you can't.
No, my son, it's 52 pitches a week, house
yep.
plus travel. That's total.
Mm-hmm.
In games.
Does that help? Are we on any right track here with that kind of stuff?
I do think we're on the right track, because we do know that the volume of the number of pitches is associated with injury. In other words, the more maximal effort pitches you throw, and Dan, it's very important, and I'm really happy that with the coaches that your son has, that they keep track of both the travel ball and the house ball.
Yeah, they are always in contact with each other. In fact, I know there are some leagues that have a Google document that is always there, or they do it through TeamSnap, where immediately after a kid, if they use Game Changer, when a kid comes out, his pitch total is there. So if he's got two games in a day, that coach for the next game knows exactly how many pitches he can use that kid for immediately.
I think that's very important. I think it's a terrific development. One of the problems that we've had with the IHSA when we came up with this pitch count initiative is that when I would go around the state to talk to coaches in high school, they tell me the problem's not with us, it's with the travel coaches. And my answer to that is the problem's everybody. Now, in terms of the number of limits on young pitchers, I think that the USA Baseball has come out with guidelines. They're available. If you go to our website, the Center for Athletic Medicine, they'll be on there. So let me just give you one example. For the example, in the 17 to 18 year old group, it's 105 maximum, 105 pitches a day, but the days of rest go up depending on how many pitches you throw. So, for example, if you throw between 76 and 105, you have to have 4 days off. That's 4 days off from maximum effort pitches, which include a showcase, which include throwing hard in a bullpen, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
If you only throw, say, 30 pitches, you're supposed to take a day off. Now, we think that that will have something to do with decreasing these injuries. You probably have heard about the issue between pitch type and these injuries.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We used to say that curveballs shouldn't be thrown until a pitcher is maybe a junior or senior in high school. We're beginning to find now the following. All kids, until they get to be, I don't know, around the age of 15, should probably just be throwing fastballs and changeups. 99% of the time, that's all you need. But the curveball is not as bad as we thought if it's thrown properly. The slider, I can tell you, is a bad idea to throw And I've got now a different perspective of things since I've been coaching for the last 5 years.
And pitching yourself still.
Yes, 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 and still pitching. That the biggest problem in young pitchers is showing them how to throw these pitches correctly. And so if I were to talk to parents, I would say, you don't want your child to be throwing anything other than a fastball or a changeup until he has the ability to throw the curveball well, and let's wait till age 18 or so before he starts throwing the slider, because we know that that pitch is associated with increased injuries. Now, the other thing that we think is very important in this era of specialization of one sport, in this case baseball,
mm-hmm.
is that we're not paying attention to the total athlete. When I see many athletes, including professional pitchers, you'd be astounded at the number of them who don't have, for example, full range of motion of the shoulder. By the way, that leads to problems with the elbow and vice versa. How many of them don't have normal trunk strength or the ability to balance? And all of those things affect what happens at the end of the pitch. If you have to generate that energy to throw a fastball, it has to come up through your legs, to your trunk, to your shoulder, down to your elbow and through your hand. If there's a problem at any one of those, what we call links, you're going to have an injury. And if you're throwing all year round and that's all you do, you'll never have a chance to work on those.
Do you have, we know the elbow injuries are just, and you always wind up with Tommy John and this study of this stuff. What about the shoulder? Do we know anything more about that?
Hasn't that gotten better? I mean, I saw one theory was that as the rotator cuff has been better understood and the strengthening of those muscles and the shaping of deliveries, all that's done is transfer all the force to the next joint in the kinetic chain, and that could be one reason for the elbow injuries. Is that true?
I think what's probably happening is that the shoulder is the, as you said, it's the transfer point between the trunk and the elbow. In other words, that's the next part of the chain. We're pretty good at getting strength in terms of the shoulder. But so far, one of the biggest problems is that we haven't paid enough attention to getting range of motion of the shoulders. I'll tell you what I mean by that. We think that actually the bone adapts. So as you grow, you probably heard that pitchers are, by the time you get to a certain age, you can't become a pitcher. Well, there's a reason for that, and that is that the bone rotates to allow the shoulder to go back more, okay?
Mm-hmm.
As a compensation, you can turn it in less. But if you look at the total number of degrees of bringing the arm back and add it to the total number of degrees bringing the arm in, those should be equal to the other side. It's almost epidemic the number of pitchers who don't have full range of motion as compared to the other side, and primarily because they've spent so much time bringing the arm back, they don't have enough what we call internal rotation. And that leads to injuries. That's the, in my opinion, that is a major cause of injuries. We know that if you have certain number of degrees difference, as little as 8 degrees, the chance that you're going to end up on the IR at the professional level goes way up.
How about the actual diagnosis of some of these problems and or the recommendation for the Tommy John procedure? Because I've heard these horror stories of crazy parents saying, my son's elbow hurts, give him Tommy John, because they think it's inevitable and they want it over with. And then they see these incredible athletic freaks that rebound from it and throw even harder and think that that's their kid, too. I'm sure it's something you deal with. And I just wonder if the surgery is being performed more and that has to be factored into this statistically.
Well, I think the surgery is being performed more, and I deal with that issue about Tommy John probably at least once a week. Parents will ask me that. A couple things. I think that the reason why pitchers can throw, they say they feel better than before they got hurt, is that a lot of them had these micro tears of the ligament And so they have these adaptations, which would allow them to continue to pitch, but not as good as if the ligament was normal. The next thing is that if you go through a year's worth of rehabilitation for a Tommy John surgery, virtually every pitcher will tell you that they're in better shape than they've ever been before.
The rehab.
Right. And that's what translates. What happens is that when the rehab is done right, all of those things that we're talking about, the kinetic chain, the core, the balance, et cetera, that gets worked on. And that's a huge development in the recovery from these injuries. Unfortunately, I see way too many pitchers who haven't had the proper rehabilitation. And so even though, you know, the headline is how many pitchers, a large percentage of pitchers will be able to come back from this injury, it's probably at least 20% that don't.
Dr. Zars, we appreciate your time, and I also want you to, while we're trying to stamp this out, will you please do something about crazy parents before we end up with you? Will you do something about that?
That's half the problem.
I really appreciate you guys having me on, because it's only through this education, primarily of the parents, but secondarily the coaches, that will really make a major difference in the prevention of these injuries.
If people want more information, they can go to athleticmed.com or follow along on Twitter @center, abbreviated CNTR, athleticmed. Dr. Preston Wolin, great to talk as always.